The Lees of Happiness by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Narrated by Kenneth Elliott. 1. If you should look through the files of old magazines for the first years of the present century, you would find, sandwiched in between the stories of Richard Harding Davis and Frank Norris and others long since dead, the word of one Jeffrey Curtin. A novel or two, and perhaps three or four dozen short stories. You could, if you were interested, follow them along until, say, 1908, when they suddenly disappeared. When you had read them all, you would have been quite sure that here were no masterpieces. Here were passably amusing stories, a bit out of date now, but doubtless the sort that would then have whiled away a dreary half hour in a dental office. The man who did them was of good intelligence, talented, glib, probably young. In the samples of his work you found, there would have been nothing to stir you to more than a faint interest in the whims of life. No deep interior laughs, no sense of futility or hint of tragedy. After reading them, you would yawn and put the number back in the files, and perhaps, if you were in some library reading room, you would decide that, by way of variety, you would look at a newspaper of the period and see whether the Japs had taken Port Arthur. But if by any chance the newspaper you had chosen was the right one and had crackled open at the theatrical page, your eyes would have been arrested and held, and for at least a minute you would have forgotten Port Arthur as quickly as you forgot Chateau Thierry, for you would, by this fortunate chance, be looking at the portrait of an exquisite woman. Those were tie days of Floridora and of sextets, a pinched-in waists and blown-out sleeves, of almost bustled and absolute ballet skirts, but here, without doubt, disguised as she might be by the unaccustomed stiffness and old fashion of her costume, was a butterfly of butterflies. Here was the gaiety of the period, the soft wine of eyes, the songs that flurried hearts, the toasts and tie bouquets, the dances and the dinners. Here was a Venus of the hansom, cab, the Gibson girl, in her glorious prime. Here was you. Find by looking at the name beneath, one Roxanne Milbank, who had been chorus girl and understudy in the Daisy Chain, but who, by reason of an excellent performance when the star was indisposed, had gained a leading part. You would look again and wonder why you had never heard of her. Why did her name not linger in popular songs and vaudeville jokes and cigar bands, and the memory of that
sample complete. Ready to continue?